Turn with us to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew in chapter 28. Our section this morning will be verses 1 through 10, which we want to begin reading now with verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." What a beautiful, beautiful record we have here this morning. As we begin to look at these 10 verses, the first thing we want to consider is what we find in verse 1. The women. Consider these women. Consider how they loved the Lord Jesus Christ. These were women who had followed him from Galilee. They were at his crucifixion, looking on. We found them last week. We found them at the burial, at the funeral. And now we find them here this morning. Consider the time of their coming. And that, you might say, is important to us. It was the end of the Sabbath, the beginning of daybreak. In the Mark's Gospel, he says that the Sabbath was past. It was very early in the morning, the first day of the week, at the rising of the sun. It was after 3 days and after 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He arose after the Jewish Sabbath, after the seventh day. He was put to death on the high Sabbath, on the Passover, the killing of the Passover. He was put to death on the high Sabbath. But this is speaking of the Sabbath of the seventh day, the Jewish Sabbath. One that they was their Sabbath every week, that seventh day. And we know so because it was the first day of the week when they came to the tomb after the Sabbath, after that seventh day. He arose upon the first day of the week. Who were these women that came to the tomb? We already made mention of the fact that they were women who came from Galilee. They were at his crucifixion. They were at his burial. And now they're here at the tomb early, at the empty tomb. They didn't know it was empty when they went. But who were these women? Well, Matthew tells us of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Mark tells us that it also was Salome. So it was the same women that were mentioned, that were singled out. There were many women who came from Galilee to his crucifixion, to Jerusalem, and were there at his crucifixion. But it signaled out for us Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome, the mother of James and John. Or as Matthew put it in the 27th chapter, the mother of Zebedee's children. The mother of Zebedee's sons. But Mark tells us that Salome was also there, and Luke says the women which came from Galilee, which would be referencing the women that were named as having come from Galilee. What was the intent of their coming to the tomb? We can understand them being at the crucifixion and looking on and their Lord and Master being crucified on the cross as he said he would be. We can imagine their being there at the tomb for the burial, for the funeral proceedings, which last week we mentioned just five, these three women and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus being there. So we can imagine them. But why did they come? Why did they come on the first day of the week, early in the morning, before it was daylight? And we get that John tells us it was dark yet. This breaking of day was just as you, it's still dark yet, but if you look off in the eastern horizon, you see the sun just starting to break the horizon. Why did they come here? Matthew says they came to see the sepulcher. Well, if you read in Mark and Luke, you see that they came to anoint the body of Jesus. And if you read in those other accounts, you see this because they, as they were coming, they were wondering how they were going to roll the stone away. Who was going to roll the stone away? For it was a great stone. It was something that not even three women could roll away. They were going to need someone to roll the stone away for them. So we see that they were coming to anoint the body. They had already seen where the tomb was. They had already seen last week how that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus cared for the body and how that they anointed it with myrrh and aloes and wound it in linen. So these spices which they had prepared and were bringing with them to the tomb was probably something that would be poured over that linen that the body was wrapped in. Well, let's move on. That was the purpose that came to the tomb, was to anoint the body. Now what about the angel? We're made mention of the angel of the Lord in verses 2 through 4. In our text, as we read here in Matthew, it would appear as though these events happened after the women arrived at the tomb. But don't forget, Matthew doesn't necessarily list the events in chronological order, in sequences as they happened. Matthew is just concerned about listing a bunch of events and not in any particular order. He's just wanting us to know that these things transpired, these things happened, and he's not concerned about the order in which they transpired and happened. But reading the other gospel writers' account, we know that when the women arrived, the stone was already rolled away from the door. Well, in our text, it tells us that there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake. The word great there, it again, signifies exceedingly great earthquake. Now, we're not told the magnitude of this earthquake. We're not told how far reaching it was, whether it was over the whole earth. I doubt it was probably just around the tomb area and maybe around that part of Jerusalem, close to that region. Probably something they felt in the city of Jerusalem. But nonetheless, the earth quaked. The ground shook. The earth shook at his death. Last week, at his death, the week before. And it shakes here again, announcing his resurrection. The angel of the Lord descended. Where did he descend from? He descended from heaven. It's the angel of the Lord. Think about this. The angel announced to Mary and Joseph his conception. To Mary. The angels announced his birth to the shepherds. The angels attended him when he was tempted by Satan, those in the book of Matthew and the 4th chapter. The angels also attended him when he was in the garden. And he was in sore agony because of what lay before him. This angel of the Lord now in this 28th chapter of the book of Matthew that appeared here, He rolled the stone away. He rolled the stone. The angel of the Lord rolled the stone away. Just think about that magnificent sense of that. The angel of the Lord rolled the stone away from the door. It wasn't so that Jesus could escape. Jesus had already risen. He had already came forth. Well, why did the angel roll the stone away? The angel rolled the stone away so all who looked could see the tomb is empty. The tomb where Jesus lay is empty. And that becomes real clear as we go on. in these thoughts. Notice the countenance of this angel. His countenance was like lightning. There was such a brightness in his face that it glowed. It was like the light. It glowed like the lightning. I don't like to be out in a lightning storm, but I don't mind watching it from the inside the house. It's kind of a magnificent display of the power of God and God's ability. His garments were white as snow. White as snow signifies purity. Purity. White as snow. There's no doubt about it. This was the angel of the Lord. So, considering this sight was so magnificent, his face glowed like the lightning, his clothes were white as snow. How magnificent a sight is that? It's such a magnificent sight that the guards who guarded the tomb were afraid. They were afraid. Consider these guards for a minute. These Roman soldiers. They were hardy veteran Roman soldiers who were used to the terrible sights of war, the terrible sights of battle. They were men of courage. This is one angel. And they were men of courage. They were fearless. But they were so afraid of the sight. That's what our verse tells us. And for fear of him, verse 4, the keepers did shake. They shook. And they not only shook, but they fainted. You can just see it. Them fainting and becoming as dead men. Think about that. All the attempts of men, of wicked men, of his enemies, to keep our Lord and our Savior in the grave were futile. Were futile. All the pains that they took to secure his tomb so that no one and that he didn't get out of there. One mighty act of God put all their attempts to futility. Can't help but think a blessed passage of Scripture in the Psalms. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why? Why do the wicked rage against him, against God, against his anointed? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. And we've seen that. We've come through that. What our Lord and Savior faced before them. Together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You can just visualize that in their crucifying the Lord of glory, putting him to death. Now they've got him dead and he's in the tomb, and we want to make that tomb secure. We're going to put a seal upon it, and not only are we going to put a seal upon it, we're going to put a guard upon it. Notice the next verse. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. Did not the Lord of glory on this day, did he not laugh at their futile attempts? And our Lord and Savior came forth, the stone rolled away. The guard that they is assigned to guard it fell down as dead men. They were so overcome with fear. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Well, that's the side of the angel. Thirdly, notice the angel's message. Find that in verses 5 through 7. His message to the women, not to the guard, but to the women who had come. Notice his message to them. They were also afraid. Women were also afraid at the sight of this angel and at the sight of the empty tomb. I think as well. They were amazed that the tomb's empty. They've taken the body of the Lord. Where have they taken it? Where have they laid it? And they see this angel. Luke tells us that there were two men, two angels. Matthew just centers on the one. Not that there weren't two there, but Matthew only centers on the one. But we know they were afraid, definitely by Mark and Luke's account that they give. Mark and Luke both say they were affrighted. They were afraid. But we can tell by the angel's comments to them here in Matthew that they were afraid. Now, as we think about these comments, we notice at least two things about them. It was words of encouragement, was it not? For the angel said to him, "Fear not, ye." You. Don't fear. Immediately scripture comes to mind, then, doesn't it? Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. Have not I commanded, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Is that not what the angel said to these three women? And saying, fear not. Secondly, not only are words of encouragement, but it's words of assurance. He said, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. It is as he said, he is risen. It is as he said, he is risen. Listen, put aside all impure carnal thoughts of him. Seek him with great reverence and humility. Seek him with a heavenly mind. He's alive. There is a great assurance in that he is not dead, but alive. Just as he said. In 3 days, I shall rise again. One of the other Gospels, I think it was Luke, said, and then they remembered, these three women. And then these three women remember the words that Jesus had spoken, that he would come forth. This angel puts them in mind of his word. His word. He says, this was the words of Jesus. He would rise again. In the book of, we see that which they remembered, found in the book of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 40. Whereas Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He had also told them again in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, after that he had asked, who do men say that I am? And some say this, and some say that. And say, but who do you say that I am? Thou art Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, they said. And then he revealed to them about his church, and they were his beginning of his church. And the next verse down says, Jesus instructed them to tell no man that I am Jesus, the Christ. You know it, but tell no man that I am Jesus, the Christ. And then in verse 21, he said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Well, that's at least the second time that we have him. And it says, and from that time, he began. So there were occasions. I mean, it seems like it was a constant thing that he was telling them of his sufferings and death and burial and resurrection. And again, in the 20th chapter, verses 18 and 19, he said, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Jesus had told the apostles, some of those that followed, these women, these three women in particular, remembered the words which he spoke. See the empty tomb. That is, in essence, what this angel said. See the empty tomb. See the place where the Lord lay. See the linen there. See the tomb is empty. See the linen lay there. See the empty tomb. Well, this angel has something else here. He gives them some directives. He said, go carry these tidings and this message to the disciples. The disciples must be told. His apostles must be told that he's risen. The tomb is empty. He has risen. The disciples were mourning and weeping because of his death, the death of Christ. They did not yet know that Christ should rise again. You say, why didn't they know? Well, that's what I say. Why didn't they know? But how many times are we told something? How many times do we read something in the Scripture before finally, one time, our eyes feast upon it. We behold. They did not know that Christ should rise again. Turn with me back to the book of Luke. This is where comparing, especially the Synoptic Gospels, is good. The book of Luke in chapter 24. And look with me here, verses 6 through 11. The angel speaking says, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his word, speaking to the women, and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And they, their words, the tidings which these women told them, and their words seemed to them as idle tales. Idle tales. And they believed them not. And they believed them not. You would think that all the teaching that Christ did to them and telling them how that he must die and how that he must rise again the third day, that they would be expecting it. But no, when death came to their Lord and Savior, the one that they proclaimed to be the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Christ, they're all depressed, despondent. And even when these women come with tidings that he has risen, he's not there in the tomb any longer, the tomb is empty. Oh, you're just telling us a lie. You're just telling us a tale. We don't believe that. Well, why must the disciples be told these tidings? Well, they needed encouragement. They needed encouragement from their present distress. And these tidings, as it came to them, should have encouraged them. Should it not have? And also, that they might inquire further into these things. Well, at the first, because they didn't believe them, and it seemed as tales to them, we see that, well, it doesn't seem like it was much of encouragement to them. But notice, it got their curiosity up. And it got them to wanting to look further into these things, at least two of them. Look at the 12th verse of this 24th chapter of Luke. Then arose Peter, and you can read in John, you find that also Peter and John arose, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He was looking into these things further. John and him were looking into these things further. In fact, the book of John tells us that John ran faster than Peter. John got there to the tomb first, but he did not go in. John stood down and he looked in the tomb and he saw the tomb was empty, but the linen clothes were lying there. And Peter, as Peter does, you know, old Peter, he gets there and he doesn't stay outside. He runs right in the tomb. You see that the body is gone. And the linen clothes that he'd been wrapped in are lying there. They were amazed. And Peter, it tells us, Luke tells us that Peter left there still wondering, still puzzled over these things. Well, we would think there shouldn't be any puzzlement any longer. He'd just seen the empty tomb. Jesus the Christ is not there. He has risen. Well, these women were told to go quickly. And they went quickly. We must always be ready. Ready to obey. Ready to obey God's command. This was the angel of the Lord giving them this command, and they quickly went. We must be always ready to quickly obey the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, and look with me at verse 60. The psalmist says this, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. My goodness, the psalmist says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. When we see the word of God, when we see the commandments from the word of God, do we make haste? Do we not delay to obey that which we've just seen from the word of God? That which has just been preached to us from the word of God? Do we delay not to keep it? Do we quickly obey the word as did these women? They didn't delay to do good. They had good tidings, and they didn't delay to do good. We're not to delay to do good. The book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Listen, we have the good news of Jesus Christ, and as we have opportunity, we ought to be sharing it with folks. We ought not to delay to do good, and to do good especially to the household of faith. These women were to give them the message to meet him in Galilee. Said, in a verse, he said, Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. Just as he had told them in the book of Matthew in chapter 26 and verse 32, he said, and I will rise again and I shall go before you into Galilee. He said. Well, and then we find the angel affirming his word. Let me get back to our passage in the book of Matthew, in chapter 28. He said, Behold, or lo, I've told you. Behold, I've told you. Behold, I, the angel of the Lord, his messenger, have told you. He is risen. And I've given you the message that you're to deliver, that he shall go before them into Galilee. And there, And there you shall see him. Well, next, in verse 8, we find the women departed. The women departed quickly. They departed the tomb. They departed the presence of the angel. They departed immediately, as they were told. Notice the disposition of mind they were in. The verse says, and they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. They departed from the presence of the tomb with alarm, trembling, and full of joy. That's what that great joy means. They were full of joy. We would say they had mixed emotions there. They were fear, but they were filled with great joy. They were full of great joy. Fear at the sight which they had just beheld. And I'm sure that this prospect of the empty tomb, him being gone, was more of an exciting fear than an afraid type thing, but trembling that they had spoken to the angel of the Lord. They knew it to be the angel of the Lord. If you, according to Luke's account, it was two angels that they had been speaking with. What a mixture. But yet, at the same time, they're full of joy. Full of joy. The Lord's risen. He's not dead. He's alive. He's risen. And they went quickly and did run to bring the disciples' word. They ran to, I've got some exciting news. You can just imagine them running. I've got some exciting news to share with you. We got to go tell the 11. We got to go tell the apostles. He's not dead. He's alive. He is risen. And so they ran to take these tidings to the disciples. They had good news to share. Well, and the fifth thing that we note is found in verses 9 through 10. Christ appears to the women. Isn't that something? Christ appears to these women. They had gone to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They had gone there seeking his body to anoint him. They had gone there seeking Jesus. Can you imagine the surprise? They'd already been told that he's not here. He's risen. He's alive. He's risen. Can you imagine the surprise at meeting Jesus in the way as they ran? As they were running to tell his disciples, behold, behold, Jesus met them. He whom they had been seeking for, him whom they had been searching for to anoint him with these spices, and appears to them, confirming the words of the angel of the Lord. Not that they needed any confirmation. They were excited. They had a message they were delivering to the apostles. But this is just added proof. They now are face to face with the one whom they had been seeking. Don't you think it removed the fear from them? Well, I think it probably just added more to them. They had been, consider this thought, they had been the first. These three women were the first seeking him on this resurrection day, early in the morning, before it's even daylight, the sun is just beginning to break the horizon. And they were there seeking Jesus first. And so he appears to them first. He didn't appear first to his apostles. He appeared first to these women. It was these women who were seeking him. The apostles, they weren't seeking him at that time. They were back there and they were all down and depressed and mourning and weeping and over the fact that Jesus had been crucified. He had died. What are we going to do now? That kind of thing. They weren't at the tomb seeking Jesus. They weren't there at the funeral, at his burial, 3 days earlier. They weren't there on this first day of the week at the break of day. They were yet in their place of mourning. And so Jesus appears to these women. And notice the greeting with which he greeted them. He said, "All hail." That phrase, "all hail," it means to rejoice. To rejoice exceedingly. Be well. All is well. It says, "All is well. Rejoice. All is well. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Here I am." Oh, so they certainly, greetings of joy and greetings of happiness. It also, this greeting also speaks of fellowship. That he has with his people. He, because I have risen, you too shall rise again. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and in verses 20 to 23, we read this. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All those who are in Christ shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, Christ has risen. Afterward, they that are in Christ, at his coming." So what 1 Corinthians 15 is telling us is because he has risen, we too shall rise. In essence, that's what Jesus was telling these women. I've risen. Be glad. Rejoice. All is well. I have risen. Because I have risen, you too shall rise again. Notice the honor that they had for him. These women, having been encouraged by him, encouraged greatly by him, and knowing who he was, came near to him, and they threw themselves down, prostrate on the ground, and they held on to his feet. That word "held" there in our text, it means with all their strength they held on to him. They held on to him. This is the Lord. We've got him. We're not going to let him go. What honor. What reverence. Prostrate. This is the Lord. And he is risen. So they held him tightly, not wanting him to go. They worshiped him, we're told in these verses. They worshiped him. They worshiped him with divine adoration, showing their love for him. This is our Lord, our God. And he is alive. He is risen. And notice his words to them. He rebukes their fear. There's no need to fear. Don't be afraid. I, your Lord and Master, am alive. And I'm here with you. I'll always be with you. He instructs them, go tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and they will see me there. Not that they wouldn't see him before going into Galilee. For he appears to them that evening, the first day of the week, Sunday. He appears to them that evening. And then a week later, he appears to them again. And Thomas is present then. But he is going to Galilee. And he goes to Galilee and gives them instructions concerning the commission, which we'll be looking at later on in this chapter. Yes, Jesus has risen. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Salome, the mother of James and John, bear testimony. They bear testimony to the empty tomb. They're firsthand witnesses that the tomb is empty. And there are others to follow that give witness and testimony to the resurrected Lord. They see him. They see him, the Lord Jesus Christ. They see him in his resurrected body. In the way as they're running to tell his disciples and to give them word. Listen. Do you by faith believe he has risen? The fact that he has risen gives assurance that God was appeased. God's wrath was settled, was accomplished. God's wrath upon me was accomplished in the person of Jesus Christ. His resurrection gives assurance of that. Therefore, he is risen for our justification, for our forgiveness of sins. Do you believe? Do you believe that he died for you personally? That he was buried for you? And that he rose again so that you could be forgiven of your sins? Shall we stand together?